guiding you, or what has guided you through life's journey. You might say that you are not wise like the Magi, and there is or there hasn't been a star for you to follow. Perhaps you have always tried to do what is right, and that has guided you. Maybe you've always tried to treat others like you would like to be treated, and that is your goal in life. Or that in every situation in life, you did your very best to do what you believed God wanted you to do. Each of us has our star. We do what is most important to us. Allow me to distinguish between knowledge and wisdom with a few examples. Contrary to wisdom, there is foolishness. Foolishness has been described as doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. Smart people learn from their mistakes. When they make a mistake, they don't make it a second time. Wise people, they learn from the mistakes of the smart people. They don't make the mistake in the first place. So a couple of examples for reference. And before we get further into the main story, let's take a look at the two Old Testament prophecies. First, the story of Balaam, who foretold of a significant event that is considered by some theologians as connected to the story of the Magi. Numbers chapter 22 to 24 chronicle the story of Balaam. In chapter 24, verse 17, reads as follows, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob." Now Balaam, he was a man who was kind of the best in his trade, and his trade was delivering curses and blessings in this region not far from Palestine. He used magic acts and spells or charms in his work, and he kind of went for the highest bidder. If you bid a little higher for a curse, he'd give you a curse. If you bid a little higher for a blessing, he'd do that as well. He's described as a man from the east, nearly 400 miles from Israel. God used him as a messenger, and King Balak, who was the ruler of the Moabites, was afraid that his territory would be captured by the Israelites. He sent for Balaam and paid him to use his powers with the God of Israel to place a curse on Israel. He was hoping that by some form of magic, God would turn against his own people. Instead, God used Balaam to bless Israel four times. Though Balaam was rather a shady character, this prophecy was from God, and it was true. This star that was mentioned that will rise from Jacob was forecast some 1,500 years before the birth of Christ. It is often thought to be the same star that the Magi followed to find Jesus. This teaches us that God can use anything or anyone to accomplish his plans. Another Old Testament prophecy, a little more recent than the one from Balaam, about the coming Messiah comes from Micah 5, verse 2, which Matthew quotes in verse 6 of today's main text. "But you, O Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one who will rule over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." God is about to start all over again. David's lineage will be cut down like a dead tree, but, as Isaiah expressed, a shoot, namely the Messiah, will come up from the stump of Jesse. Though ancient Bethlehem was small on that particular day, it will achieve universal acclaim through Christ's birth. Matthew interprets the verse 5:2 from Micah to emphasize Jesus Christ as ruler, not as one of Jesse's descendants. This prophecy predicts the coming of the Messiah. It helps to pinpoint the identity and the origin of Jesus and makes reference to his heritage. With those two Old Testament references as a background, we can move to today's morning's main text. Matthew gives us very little information about the Magi, whom we commonly refer to kings or perhaps wise men. Magi were astrologers who played an important role in the everyday life of the government in many ancient Eastern countries. In most cases, they served as advisors to the king. Their insights were derived from sophisticated observation of the stars, combined with a sort of interpretation, something like you might see in today's horoscopes. By their calculation, they had concluded that a very important royal birth had taken place in Palestine, and this called for a state visit. Communication through the stars was common in culture of that time. Matthew sees this as an acceptable Gentile response to a very genuine spiritual revelation. It would be something advisors to kings typically do. If there's a royal birth in a neighboring country, advisors to the king go and pay a royal state visit. The sharp contrast between these well-motivated foreigners and the unscrupulous, jealous King Herod, the official king of the Jews, foreshadows a future response which official Judaism will make to Jesus and the future welcome of Gentile believers into the kingdom of God. In the whole episode, Matthew finds rich material for meditation as well as the fulfillment of Scripture. The formal quotation of Matthew 5, verse 2 shows how Jesus' birthplace indicates his status as a coming ruler. The star echoes Balaam's earlier prophecy of a star out of Jacob from Numbers 24. The coming of foreign dignitaries from the east to Jerusalem may remind us of a visit of the Queen of Sheba to Solomon, the King of David, who also brought gifts of gold and spices. This story is included in Matthew to show how the wise men, even Gentile wise men, searched for Jesus, while a Jewish king and the religious leaders who knew the Old Testaments, the two I mentioned and many more, they neither sought out nor honored the Son of God. And Matthew emphasized the reason the Magi came in verse 11. We have come, why? To worship him. The Magi traveled far to see the King of the Jews. And when they finally found him, they responded with joy, worships, and gifts. This is so different. Such a contrast from those who expect God to come looking for them, to explain himself, to prove who he is, and to give them gifts. Those who are wise worship Jesus for who he is, for what they can give, not for what they can get. When we make small talk after Christmas, or on the water cooler over coffee, or another communication comment, we often hear, "What did you get for Christmas?" We would have a much different conversation if we started with a different question. What did you give for Christmas? And imagine the look on other people's faces if you ask them, what did you give Jesus this Christmas? The Magi said this, they saw the star of Jesus and they followed it. Some astrologers speculate that this was the coming together of the planets of Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars. But couldn't God, who created the whole heavens in the first place, have created a very special star to signal the arrival of his son? When the Magi came to the palace, King Herod, he was quite disturbed. He wanted to keep the power he had on the throne, so he asked about this newborn king of the Jews. Why? Well, he wasn't the rightful heir to the throne of David in the first place. He was appointed by Roman government, so many Jews hated him. Secondly, he was ruthless and suspicious that someone might overthrow him. Thirdly, he didn't want the Jews to get together and anoint to unite around this religious leader and overthrow him. Lastly, he really wanted power was the main thing. That was his star, was to retain power. Now the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they were aware of these prophecies about the Messiah, forecast by Balaam 7 centuries earlier, and later by Micah. Most Jews expected the Messiah to be some great military and political leader. And of course, he'd be born in Jerusalem, the capital of their nation. So when the Messiah was born in Bethlehem, they never even considered the possibility. Wise men, however, were open to the leading of God. They saw both sides of it. They were willing to go wherever the star led him. The fools, they expected him to be in Jerusalem, considered no other option. And Herod, he didn't really want to worship Jesus. This was actually a trick to get the Magi to return to him and reveal where Jesus was so he could kill the infant and take away a political threat, what he saw as a political threat to his rulership. The Magi, they gave these expensive gifts because they were worthy presents for a future king. Gold was a common gift for a king in that culture. Incense, a gift for deity, and myrrh, a spice for a person who was going to die. These gifts may have provided resources for the trip to Egypt that Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus took. And after finding Jesus and worshiping him, the Magi were warned in a dream not to return through Jerusalem as they had intended. How does the story of the Magi compare to your faith story? Perhaps you have searched for, or you are searching for, Jesus in your life. You have followed a star, your passion, maybe a very influential person, maybe a minister, maybe your prime goal in life. Then your plans, your search came to a fork in the road, like the wise men when they came to Jerusalem. You lost the trust you had in a person. You found yourself in a deep financial crisis. You had a life-threatening disease. You didn't know where to go, and you needed direction. You may recall, and you may have been blessed, to have a person who directed you when you were unsure about your next step. A family member, or friend, maybe even someone like Herod, whom you later learned to avoid. The right directions for the wise men came from the scriptures and the guiding star. And then you were on your way again. You saw your star once more after you'd had this kind of revelation from a friend or somebody else. And this star led you on, and it led you to where Jesus was. The wise men found Jesus in a humble family in Bethlehem, and they were filled with joy. There may have been times when you were delighted by the generosity or the kind-heartedness of Jesus that you found in your own family or an unexpected place. You may have found God in the beauty of nature, in deep moments of prayer with others, or in a community of like-minded worshipers. You had followed your star, and it led you to where Jesus was. And when you found him, what did you do? The wise men opened and presented their gifts. Their gifts may remind you of the gifts you offer to God and to others. They offer gold, a symbol of goodness and love. Their gold may remind you of what you have done and the love you have shown to others. They offered frankincense, which is associated with prayer and worship. You may recall with gratitude the place that prayer holds in your life. They offered myrrh, which draws a connection with the death of Jesus, and may serve to remind you of the sufferings you have endured and what you have offered to the Lord for the benefit of others. You too have opened your gifts and offered them. After finding Jesus and worshiping him, the wise men were warned by God not to return through Jerusalem as they had intended. Finding Jesus may mean that your life must take a different direction, one that is responsive and obedient to God's word. You may have to say goodbye to old friends, old habits, old routines. And on the other hand, think of all the positive ways that Jesus has affected the direction of your life. There are many lessons for us to contemplate, to consider, to ponder from the scripture passage. Let me touch briefly on three lessons from the example of the priests and the scribes. There may be true servants of God in places where we may not expect to find them. We must not assume that God's people consist only of the ones we know. Like the Magi, they may be in other countries, in other cultures, of other religions. Matthew 2, verse 2, verse 19, the Lord knows who are his. Second example, it is not always those who are in the top religious positions who give Christ the most honor. One would think the chief priests and the scribes would have been the first to go to Bethlehem, hearing rumors that the Savior was born. But no, it's a few unknown strangers from a distant land who recognize the significance of the moment. John 1, verse 11, he came to his own, and his own received him not. Let us pray that we don't make the same mistake. Third example, there may be knowledge in the head, but no grace in the heart. The priests and the scribes were quick to give Herod the answer to his question of where the baby Jesus was born, but they didn't go to Bethlehem. They never believed. They figured they knew where the place was. They acted on their knowledge in their head. They had knowledge. They were not wise. From Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, 17 to 18. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of others and fall from your secure position. And three great lessons from the wise men. They are a splendid example of spiritual diligence. The dictionary defines diligence as persistent, hard-working at doing something, the ability to work steadily. Consider what it cost them in terms of travel, the risks on their journey, in terms of time, and danger on the road. What about our diligence? Are we willing to pay such a price to find Jesus, to serve him, to worship him? Second example from the Magi. They're an striking example of faith. They believed in Christ when they'd never seen him before this journey. They believed in Christ when the scribes, the priests, and the king of the area were unbelievers. They believed in Christ when all they saw was a young baby and his mother. Yet, they fell down and worshipped him. This is the kind of faith God delights to honor. For God saw fit to record their example of faith for us through Matthew. And every time this passage is read, their example of faith is honored. As Jesus would say later in John 20, verse 29 to Thomas, blessed are you because you have seen and believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed. Third example from the Magi. After they found Jesus, they paid homage and worshipped him. And then they went another way. Those who truly find Jesus are changed. They turn. They can't go back to their old ways, for they have seen the light. This is more than a cosmetic change. It is a heart change, a change from head knowledge to a graceful heart. Writer C.S. Lewis said it so well. There are two kinds of people. There are those who say to God, "Thy will be done." And there are those to whom God says, "All right then, have it your way." The shepherds who came to worship Jesus, Mary and Joseph, the Magi, these are examples of people who fit into the group who said to God, "Thy will be done." King Herod, the scribes and the chief priests, the unbelievers in Jerusalem. To these God said, all right then, have it your way. God created each of us with a free will. Each of us can pray, God, thy will be done. Or God can say to us, all right, have it your way. The wise men of the Christmas story followed a star. They had an adventure. They made a discovery and were written into the history by Matthew. They followed a star that everyone else was content to ignore. They left home and they found the thing that was most important to them. Is the star I am following, that you are following, leading us to Jesus, or is it leading us somewhere else? May the faith and diligence of the wise men serve to inspire us to greater service to our Lord. Please join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, may your light shine in our way as once it guided the steps of the Magi, that we too may be led into your presence. And when we find you, or when you find us, may we worship you. The child of Mary, the word of the Father, the King of all nations, the Savior of all, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Please rise for the benediction, and we'll sing verse 5 of We Three Kings, number 288. So if the song leaders want to come up. May this verse 5 dwell in our hearts as we go from here and guide us through the new year. And now to him who is able to keep us from falling and lift us from the dark valleys of despair to the bright mountain of hope, from the midnight of desperation to the daybreak of joy, to him be power and authority forever and ever. Amen.